Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, for healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning to you. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. All right, the show. I got so engrossed in the show, I could barely keep up. Genetics. There's something called a plasmid. A plasmid is a circular piece of DNA. Now, I've talked a lot in the show regarding DNA and how genetic engineering is changing our sense of what we call, well, us, for that matter, food. That geneticists are able to insert genes from different places that you ordinarily wouldn't find them, so that we can take, say, a piece of a plant, a tomato, and we can insert a gene from another type of plant in a way that would never, ever actually occur in nature for certain reasons. And usually those reasons, as they're published, are reasons to improve the crop. The fact is, usually we do genetic engineering on plants to make sure that the plant simply resists more pesticide. That's what they don't tell you, but that, in fact, is the truth. But that's not the point. The point is, genetic engineering is here to stay. And very well-meaning geneticists, very well-meaning scientists are seeking ways to cure disease all the time. And sometimes the genetic engineering is creating miracles. For instance, there used to be a disease where an infant was born with no immune system, no immunity. And to keep the child alive, we'd have to put it in a bubble. And we nicknamed that Bubble Boy. This is a very real thing. You can look it up. Well, Bubble Boy is no longer Bubble Boy. Bubble Boy is a curable disease now. It's curable because the disease only evolved out of one little misplaced nucleotide in a sequence of DNA, meaning the genetic aberration or the problem came out of what you call a single nucleotide polymorphism. Big words for in the sequence of DNA, one nucleotide was misplaced, and this created a protein that ultimately didn't fold correctly, and that created the disease. That's fixed, and it's fixed because of genetic engineering. Here's another example. Because of genetic technology, people that are born that don't make enough growth hormone, meaning midgets, meaning you're only 2 feet tall and you're an adult. You're perfectly formed, but you just never grew tall. We're able now to produce growth hormone at will, purified, deliverable into the individual who suffers from that. And if you can afford it, that price will come down over time. But we have the technology now to cure what used to be being a midget. We've learned how to make growth hormone, but we make it through bacteria, and that's where we're going to go today. Some of these genetic miracles are on the back of what you call, so I'll give you this word today, a plasmid. Plasmid. P-L-A-S-M-I-D-S. Now, your high school students are learning about these things. But it's not quite on the tip of our tongue yet. So today's show, Plasmids and Alien DNA, should you tell your children? plasmids and alien DNA. Should you tell your children? Show 440. If you go on to the website, that's straighttalk.cc, you're going to see pictures of plasmids. Now, I'm telling you something. The first time you see a plasmid, you're going to flip. Because it looks like it came from outer space. It really, really does. Even someone with a marginal imagination will get my point. You look at it, and it strikes you as unworldly. It strikes you as something that's come from somewhere else. And when you really get to understand what it is, why it's there, and what can be done with it, you really do start to look at the heavens. It's called a plasmid. Go on the website, show 440, take a look. Well, we know our DNA, the molecular structure of DNA, what the molecule looks like. You see it all the time in commercial media. It's a helix, which are two spiral staircases, so to speak, that meet each other. DNA, 1952, discovered Watson and Crick, they did. Rosalind Frankel, Maurice Wilkins, the four of them. Watson and Crick got most of the credit. Perhaps they deserved it. Point is, they figured out the DNA, the molecule, what's changing our world as we know it every second, is based on, in part, its understanding its structure. So it's no news to anyone, high school, college, DNA molecule. The molecule is double helical spiral staircase structure, meaning take two spirals, put them together, and you've got the double helix of the DNA molecule. Great. That's how we pass on our genetic material as we reproduce as a species, and as that sequence of the component parts of the DNA, the nucleotides, as those sequences change under selective pressure. That's the Darwin piece. The organism starts to have new capabilities. This is nothing new, right? If the species under pressure, the species evolves. Evolve or die, right? You know this one. Here's what's spooky. I invite you to get spooked. It's Halloween. Time to get spooked. That double helical structure in bacteria is a circle. Now, if you look at picture two, bacteria also have strands of DNA, straight strands. They've got the bacterial DNA in the normal form of it, but they've also got circular bits of DNA. Now, this is what we, Homo sapien, human organism, has hitchhiked a ride on the back of. Meaning, long before man knew science, bacteria had plasmids, circular pieces of DNA. The plasmid is the part of the bacteria that re-engineers itself so that the bacteria can fight against its single greatest enemy, the virus. The virus is the enemy of the bacteria. Now, we understand the AIDS virus, the HIV virus. We understand Hep C virus. We understand the mononucleosis virus. Maybe cancer is a virus. We know the word virus. Virus, bad. Virus, our immune system eats the virus, or the virus eats us. Okay. But the upgrade here is that life on Earth is more than integrally tied into this relationship between the bacteria and the virus. If it were not for the success of the bacteria to annul, neutralize, kill, limit the growth of the virus, we wouldn't be doing this show today. You wouldn't be listening. We wouldn't be here. The bacteria knows how to beat the virus. And what it does is it sicks the plasmid on the virus. The plasmid is an infinitely adaptable circular strand of DNA. And when it recombines itself in a way that gives the bacteria survival value, fitness, the ability to beat the virus that would otherwise beat it, well, then it keeps that redesigned plasmid. Better than that, once it works for the bacteria passes it on. It passes on its plasmids. It can send its plasmid to another bacteria that doesn't have the plasmid. Now that bacteria that once didn't have the plasmid can have the plasmid. It's as if to say some small population of human beings somewhere could breathe the sick air of the sickest city in the sickest part of the world. Smog. Some population evolved. It re-engineered itself to breathe smog. Pure smog. Smog that would kill you. But this little select group of people figured out through evolution how to adapt itself to smog. Maybe it is the people of Los Angeles. But what a bacteria can do, in the human terms, is take that ability to inhale the smog and pass it on, that ability, pass and transfer that ability at an extremely rapid rate. Much more rapid than we know. When one part of our population evolves to do something that the rest can't, it may be thousands of years. It may be hundreds and thousands of years before it passes the trait on. The bacteria through the plasmid can do it fast, really fast. This gives bacteria enormous adaptability. Enormous adaptability. And when you look at the plasmid and you understand its ability, when you understand its fitness or its health value for the survival of the bacterial species, it gets spooky. Really does. Nothing that we know in our genetic deck can match the bacteria. Nothing. 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 So here's what we did. This is what we did. Us, Homo sapien, the scientists, the geneticists, we now engineer our own plasmids, synthetic plasmids. So I'll give you the overview on what we did. We engineer our own plasmids, our own circular form of DNA. And we engineer it to include instructions to produce anything we want to produce. Frogs with three legs. Bears with three heads. I'm exaggerating a little. Anything, though, that we can engineer on our own, any trait, to get more real, the production of growth hormone. We take our lab tools and we make plasmids now that code for the production, say, of growth hormone. So we make a circular ring of DNA that's very similar to a bacterial plasmid. It has an operon, a lac operon in it, all the stuff. I'll skip some of those details. It gets too much. But we engineer these circular forms of DNA, just like bacteria have them. And into that circular form, we put, say, instructions through nucleotide sequences. We put DNA instructions inside that circular bacterial plasmid, the one we make, for, say, the production of growth hormone. And then we take this plasmid that we engineered, that we made, and we feed it to E. coli bacteria. We feed it, meaning we grow cultures of the bacteria, we chuck the plasmids in there, and we feed the plasmids. We put the plasmids in the presence of the bacteria that we breed. And then those bacteria look at the plasmid, I guess unaware that it's been genetically engineered, that it's been synthesized by us, and they eat it. They incorporate it. Now, what does an E. coli do once it incorporates the synthetic plasmid that we made that had the DNA instructions to produce growth hormone? What does the E. coli do? It starts to multiply. And in 24 hours, E. coli can broach 2,000 years of human evolution. It produces enough generations. The generations it takes us, over 2,000 years, the E. coli generates in 24 hours. What we do in 2,000 years, it does in 24 hours. That means it produces a lot of what we asked it to produce, which was growth hormone. That growth hormone it produces because it ate the plasmid that we engineered synthetically. This is what biotech's all about. This is the boom in it. Everyone's learning this. College, grad school, high school. This is a huge chunk of the future. And everybody, and justifiably, is feeling very proud of themselves. But I'm going to tell you something. Look at picture number 3. Look at picture number 4. Just look at the plasmid and tell me if that plasmid didn't come from outer space. There's just no to use your higher intelligence. Don't stay stuck in the mire of your analytic mind, of what they mistakenly call your IQ. Don't stay there. Go beyond that and just look at that thing. It'll hit you right in the gut because it reeks of something from another dimension. I'm telling you, in the end, you'll see what we call the planet Earth transform itself into something that we won't recognize over the next 100 years on the basis of this thing you're looking at. It's been an incredible, indescribably massive, it has made a massive contribution to our evolution. Because we can feed a plasmid with a lot of different instructions. And we can get the bacteria to produce. We can get the bacteria to produce it through adding the DNA sequence, the mature DNA sequence. See, the great beautiful thing about using bacteria is that instructions are generally in rough forms, meaning when you have something like growth hormone, when it's produced in the nucleus, when it's produced in its early stages, it's all messed up. It's mixed. The asset, say growth hormone, is mixed with things called introns. Important, but in the end, unimportant and harmful parts of the DNA that's produced is produced impure. The body has to purify it. It purifies itself in the cell eventually. But what we do is we feed the bacteria the pure form, the mature RNA, the messenger RNA that's matured. And we save ourselves a lot of technology. In short, we hitch a ride on the back of bacteria. Schauberger had it. He said, understand, comprehend, and then copy nature. This is what we've done. What has not grown out of nature? Antibiotics are out of nature. This thing with the plasmid is out of nature. We're always taking the cue from nature. Schauberger, Victor, comprehend and then copy nature. This is kind of what we've done. Now, man usually takes it off into the wrong direction. But that's another show. Point is that these plasmids naturally have been around for billions of years. They have a certain resonance to them, an unworldly resonance. And science is hitchhiking on the back of these plasmids into creating a world that is unworldly. Come on, just do this. Do this and tell me in the deepest peace of yourself if I'm not on the money. Just get on YouTube. Put Hollywood pre-code era movies. Pre-code. That's movies in Hollywood from 1928 to 1935. It's called pre-code. Just look at those movies. You know, John Barrymore, Greta Garbo, Marlene Dietrich. You guys are old enough to remember those names. Cary Grant, Jimmy Stewart. The pre-code era. Look at the world back then. Less than 100 years ago, it was plush. Look at the sets. The sets are plush. It's wood. It's stone. Real people. A fertile, non-synthetic world. Feels good. Consider this. Your average college student doesn't even know who Frank Sinatra is. They might not even know the name John Lennon. They certainly aren't going to know the name Cary Grant or Gary Cooper unless they're film buffs, unless they're studying film. A lot of them don't even know the name Thomas Jefferson. He was a poet, right? One thing is very clear. We are becoming synthetic. All of us. It's inevitable that even if you're real, you become synthetic. The whole texture of you changes. And now look at this plasmid. We can, without the resonance of nature, we can actually design our own organism. The implications of this are massive, and they are not without the miraculous. And this was my point. There is no bubble boy. That growth hormone I'm talking about, now we can produce growth hormone in route, in mass, and pure, not prion contaminated from pig brain. So what if the day comes where your baby's not enlarging? And the doctor tells you, I'm sorry, but you've birthed a midget. Won't grow more than 3 feet. And we can save that with the growth hormone produced in mass so that it doesn't cost you, so it's not cost prohibitive. And we can take your 3-foot child or what would become a midget and make it grow to its full 6-foot height. You're going to turn that down? Now, if there's one thing history shows, the species takes care of its babies. You're not going to let it die or suffer. And this is where genetic engineering is here to stay. You can think what you want. Yeah, we found a way to produce stem cells without killing embryos. But history shows we will get the job done, and plasmids are here to stay, so welcome them. Understand them. We are just so deep into the matrix of life now. Where is our innocence in the face of that? This is why the churches are failing. And our churches are failing. Because they don't know how to handle this. They don't know how to embrace it. It's here. It competes with the power of what we once relegated to the Lord. It shouldn't. It's the end of us if we do. And as our ecosystems disappear, with no regard from the people that destroy them, it seems like this is the case. But plasmids are here to stay. So what do you do then? What do you do when you need to grow your church amidst the weight of the miracle of science? I'll tell you what you do. You understand it. You embrace it. And then you view it through the lens of the Lord. That's what you do. But if you don't understand it, it's going to bury you. You can't be afraid of it. And that's why I do this show. I do this show so you can embrace the future through the lens of God. And that's what makes this show special. That aside, if you're lost in the labyrinth of health, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. I have all sorts of tools for you and perspectives. Give us a call. Make the appointment. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. Enjoy this beautiful day. We'll see you next week.
Okay, that's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.